Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking at a policy shift that, well, on the surface, is just about hair.
Right.
But it actually breaks a tradition that's a century in the making.
Cool.
And it needed the king's approval to even happen.
Mm-hmm.
We are deep diving into the British Army and the recently lifted 100-year ban on beards.
It sounds so minor, doesn't it? A footnote in the history of this, you know, massive fighting force.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely not. I mean, imagine a rule that has defined the look, the visual identity of the British soldier since, what, the First World War?
Clean shaven. Mandatory.
Exactly. And that ban was officially lifted in March 2024. Just gone.
Okay, so let's unpack this for you. Our mission today is to go way beyond that headline. We really need to understand why this specific change, which went all the way up to the king, is so significant, both, you know, symbolically and practically.
Yeah.
What are the new grooming rules? Because they are surprisingly complex, almost microscopic.
They are.
And how does this one small shift connect these huge ideas, historical bravery, modern combat effectiveness, and the urgent pressure of recruitment today?
That's the core of it, really. When you look at all the sources, that tension just jumps out.
Mm-hmm.
This whole policy change, it isn't about fashion. It's a strategic cultural negotiation, a very deliberate one.
What do you mean by negotiation?
The army is trying to leverage symbols from the 19th century, you know, the heroic bearded soldier from the Crimean War,
right,
to override 20th century safety standards, which is the whole gas mask seal problem.
And all of that is for 21st century goals.
Exactly. Retention and recruitment. It's a fascinating balancing act.
That's the kind of insight we're going for. Okay, so let's start with the event itself, the shift. The sources all confirm that key date, March 2024. The clean-shaven rule is over.
And what really makes this stand out is the level of bureaucracy involved. This wasn't some quick memo from the Ministry of Defense.
Well,
it was a historic move that went all the way up the chart.
All the way to the sovereign.
Right. King Charles himself approved the change, but only after these extensive consultations with military chiefs, with political leaders.
And his approval, that really matters here. It's not just an institutional shift, it's royal buy-in.
It is.
It kind of underscores the king's commitment to modernizing the army, showing that the institution is willing to adapt to, you know, what the public it serves actually wants.
It signals a top-down seriousness. The army leadership knows they can't look like they're stuck in the past.
Especially not when you're competing for talent in, well, a very competitive job market.
So that brings us to the immediate question, the rationale. Why now? Why make this huge step right now?
The goals seem pretty pragmatic.
Hmm.
First, just modernizing the army's image. They want to be more appealing to new recruits.
Especially younger people.
Yeah, a younger demographic where having a beard is just, it's completely normal.
It's not even a statement anymore.
No. So the decision just reflects that broader trend of aligning military standards with how society actually is today, where, you know, personal expression is a bit more valued.
And that ties right into morale. I mean, discipline is still the bedrock of the military, of course.
Of course.
But allowing soldiers to have some control over their own appearance, even within a really tight framework, can make a huge difference to their sense of identity, of belonging.
It's a recognition that times have changed.
Yeah, and that keeping people in the service often comes down to these quality of life details.
Okay, but hold on. You said a tight framework. If the goal is to modernize, why not just say, you know, beards are fine, just keep them tidy?
Mm.
Why create a whole new set of massive regulations?
Ah, because lifting the ban carried this huge risk of appearing less disciplined.
Right.
And that's where it gets really interesting. When the army first started talking about this, they got a lot of internal pushback.
From who? Senior officers?
Senior NCOs, mostly. They had to immediately create these strict, almost meticulous rules to counter those worries that this was the start of a decline in disciplined appearance.
I remember reading about that. Some senior people were quoted describing the first beards they saw as scruffy looking.
Exactly. So the Army's response wasn't to relax standards. It was to redefine what discipline looks like and then apply that redefinition to facial hair.
That is a crucial detail for you, the listener, to really get. The new standards are incredibly precise.
Unforgivingly so. The policy says you can only have a full beard.
So no goatees, no mustaches on their own.
Nope. And if you have patchy growth or it's uneven, it's just not allowed. There's no room for that kind of unkempt look.
And this is where that military obsession with measurement comes in. We're not just talking neat. We're talking specific grades.
That's right. Think about your clippers at home, the little plastic guards. Now apply military rigor to those settings.
Okay.
A beard has to be kept between grade one, which is about 2.5 millimeters, very short stubble,
Right.
and grade eight, which is exactly 25.5 millimeters, 1 inch, no more.
So that range, grade one to grade eight, is super tightly controlled. It's all about ensuring uniformity.
It is. It's not about growing some magnificent wizard-like beard. It's about maintaining a short, functional, and intensely disciplined covering on your face.
And there's more. The structure of it.
Oh, yeah. The grooming rules demand that the beard is kept clearly off the cheekbones and off the neck.
So you need that clean, defined line.
You have to have it tidy, well-groomed, all the time. If you can't maintain the standard, you have to shave it off. End of story.
That seems like, frankly, an administrative nightmare. How do you even enforce that? Are commanders walking around with rulers now?
Huh, not literally, no. But the pressure is real. The Army just falls back on its existing systems, routine checks, regular inspections.
So it's about visual enforcement.
Exactly. The responsibility is on the leadership to be able to visually identify if a beard is within that grade one to grade eight window. The whole question shifts from, is he shaved, to, is his beard within spec?
Let's pivot now to the history. Because for 100 years, this ban existed for a really, really important reason.
It did. A life or death reason.
What was a core operational justification for being clean-shaven?
It was all about survival. Specifically, ensuring the effective fit of gas masks and other personal protective equipment, PPE.
Chemical warfare protection.
Yes. If you're in a combat zone with that kind of threat, a proper seal between the mask and your skin is everything. And facial hair just historically got in the way of that. Full stop.
Function over form. Makes total sense. Mm. But this is the deep dive, so we have to get into the cultural contradiction here. You mentioned before that beards also had this huge positive historical meaning for the British Army.
They absolutely did. You have to go back to the mid-19th century, the Crimean War.
Okay.
In those campaigns, beards became this powerful symbol of bravery, of just sheer physical resilience.
Why then?
The conditions were brutal, the Russian winters, the impossibility of shaving frequently. So men grew beards as a mark of their endurance against the elements.
And that image, the bearded soldier in the snow, that really stuck. I think the specific phrase from the historical documents is Crimean Heroes 1856.
That's the one. That's the psychological anchor. So yeah. When King Charles gives his endorsement now, it's a very conscious nod to that history.
It connects the modern soldier back to this really potent symbol of endurance.
Right. It's like the army is saying, we honor that historical bravery by bringing this symbol back, but we're doing it on our modern terms.
And that's the negotiation you mentioned earlier.
Exactly. Using a 19th century symbol to get past a 20th century safety rule.
To solve a 21st century recruiting problem.
You got it.
So how did the other UK armed forces handle this, to put the army's shift in context?
Well, it really highlights why the army was the last holdout. The Royal Navy has a very long tradition of allowing beards.
The classic sailor with a beard.
Right, though they have their own strict rules, of course. But the RAF, the Royal Air Force, they generally stuck to stricter grooming standards, much more like the army's old policy.
So the army making this move now is the last big piece to fall.
It is. It shows that the cultural barrier was probably highest in the service that's most focused on, you know, ground combat. The infantry.
It seems like a huge win for morale, though, right? Especially if the troops themselves wanted it.
Oh, they did. The data backs that up. There was a survey that showed a significant majority of soldiers, both active and reservist, were in favor of the change.
They see it as a way to strengthen their own identity.
Their identity, their commitment, all while staying within those professional standards.
Okay, let's circle back to the elephant in the room, the gas mask.
The big one.
If the whole point of the ban was the seal, how can the army, in good conscience, tell a soldier facing a potential chemical attack that a beard is now okay?
This is where that technical precision we talked about earlier becomes the army's main defense.
Grades.
That lingering concern about a beard hindering the seal is, they argue, mitigated by the strict length requirement.
So the argument isn't that gas masks are way better now, but that the beard itself has to be short enough not to matter.
That's the bet they're making. The army is banking on the idea that a short, tidy, grade one to grade eight beard won't compromise the fit, or at least not beyond an acceptable safety margin.
It's a calculated risk.
It is. A compromise they're willing to make, but only if the standards are ruthlessly enforced. The moment a beard gets too long or scruffy, it becomes a safety risk. That's why the neatness part is completely non-negotiable.
A change this big, especially with all that internal resistance you mentioned, it needs powerful champions to push it through. Who are the key figures?
General Sir Patrick Sanders was a very vocal supporter.
Okay.
He was careful to frame the policy not as a relaxation of standards, but as a reflection of evolving military values.
Emphasizing the modernization angle.
Right. Adaptability. He believes it has a direct positive impact on morale and identity, and it positions the Army as a more forward-thinking place to work.
But the real weight of enforcing this falls on the leaguers on the ground.
It always does.
The senior non-commissioned officers. The SNCOs. They're the ones in the barracks every day who have to make this work.
Yeah.
How do they react?
Generally, they're supportive. They get the morale boost. They understand the need to attract better recruits. But their view is also very critical and pragmatic.
They're the ones who have to actually balance this idea of personal expression with absolute military discipline.
For them, the biggest challenge isn't that the ban is gone. It's the new complexity of enforcing the new rule.
You're going from a simple yes or no, inspection shaved or not shaved, to something much more subjective.
Exactly. Is this beard a grade 4 or a grade 7? Is it too long? That requires a whole new level of diligence from them.
They have to develop a new skill, almost.
They do. They have to train their eye to spot a grade 9 beard from across the room, or one that's creeping down onto the neck, because that's not just an appearance issue anymore.
It's a signal, a breakdown in discipline that could affect safety.
Right. It connects both professional appearance and operational readiness.
It's a really great illustration of the whole tension here. The new policy shows the Army is adapting to modern society, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to do it while holding on to that traditional discipline image. So they just swapped one rigid grooming standard for another, slightly more flexible, but equally complex, one.
And that's the perfect final synthesis. This really marks a new era. It's a transformative change where the military is using its own past, the Crimean heroes, to tackle its future.
Addressing recruitment, addressing the modern desire for a bit of personal expression.
It's discipline, just redefined.
This has been a really illuminating deep dive into the surprisingly contentious world of military facial hair. Let's recap the key takeaways for you, the listener.
Okay.
The century-old ban on beards was lifted in March 2024. It was personally approved by King Charles to modernize the force and, crucially, to boost recruitment.
But that freedom comes with very strict conditions. The Army basically chose the recruitment power of the beard over the absolute standard of the clean shave.
But only by creating a new, hyper-disciplined set of rules.
Exactly. Only full beards are allowed. They have to be kept between grade 1, 2.5 millimeter, and grade 8, 25.5 millimeter. And they're subject to constant inspections.
All to prevent any interference with gas masks and to maintain that disciplined look. And as we close out this deep dive, we want to leave you with one last provocative thought. We learned how the Army is balancing the weight of its history, symbolized by those Crimean heroes, with the urgent needs of modern combat, the gas mask.
So if facial hair, which was once seen as something that fundamentally compromised discipline and safety, is now being embraced as a key tool for recruitment and morale.
Then you have to ask.
You have to ask.
Right.
What other old, long-held traditions might be next to change?
Things like fitness standards. Education requirements.
Or even the command structure. For the military to stay relevant, to stay competitive, this shift suggests they're willing to really question what a disciplined image even means.
Beyond just physical appearance.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the future negotiation for you to think about.
Until next time, keep digging deeper.